Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my, you know, my two little ones. And all of a sudden, I saw my wife and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. Right.
Curtis's guy, Tom Brady, James Corden, the late show on CBS this week, and Giselle's name came up again. That's basically the only new Brady news of the week, but it's enough that Curtis wants to talk more Brady. And to be honest, everybody in the region still is obsessed with the guy after winning number 7, Curtis.
How can you not be?
How can you not be? And we got a Brady expert on the line and a pro football expert, Gary Myers, on the Harbor One Hotline. You know him well from years of the New York Daily News, Dallas Morning News, Hall of Fame voter, New York Times best-selling author, Brady book. At least one out, right, Gary? You got another one in the works at some point?
You know, people have asked me if I wanted to, you know, update the Brady Manning book with everything that's happened since the book came out in 2015. So that's a consideration. In the meantime, I have the podcast I worked on all season and posted episodes each week called The Goat Tom Brady. And he was cooperative by winning the Super Bowl, so it gave me plenty of new material to use in December and January. But listen, Giselle might have said to him, "What more do you have to prove?" And I'm sure when she asked him that again that night, he would have said, you know, plenty. I'm not walking away now because he's going to go for a few more years, I think.
Gary, it's amazing. When you just mentioned that book, the Brady Manning book that you put together, we had you on the station at the time. It was a great read. Could you ever have envisioned a time where Peyton Manning would be walking into the Hall of Fame in the same year that Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl still playing football?
Isn't that amazing? You know, when I did the book, people were saying to me, "Why don't you wait for them both to retire so you can, you know, really put it in context?" And I said, "Well, Tom's not retiring anytime soon. I think Peyton has only got a couple of years left because he had all those neck issues." But I never would have anticipated that, you know, Peyton would have gone in the Hall of Fame and Brady will be the defending Super Bowl champion going for an 8th ring. I mean, it just defies history. It defies explanation. And listen, I don't necessarily agree with everybody who says he's as good as he's ever been, because I don't think so. But he's not far off, and obviously he's still capable of winning the Super Bowl. Excuse me. He has set the bar so high now. That is, you know, people were saying before the Super Bowl, well, if Mahomes can narrow the gap to 6-2 and he's only 25 years old, that, you know, eventually he could catch him. Well, Tom pushed it out there at 7-1 now that it is going to be impossible for Mahomes to catch him. But just the fact that Peyton's career is over long enough to go in the Hall of Fame, and these guys were competing against each other side by side for so many years. I mean, nobody could have anticipated that.
And on that note, Gary, I feel like there is now a generation of people that are growing up not realizing that at one point, Brady Manning was the greatest argument in professional sports because one side was the winner, one side was the stat accumulator, all of that. I mean, it was the best Barstool debate in America for almost 15, 20 years. And now it's, if you say Manning over Brady, you're laughed out of the room. I mean, he has ruined any debate regarding the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, it's 11-6 overall and 7-2 in Super Bowls. But I think anybody who's going to try to make a case to Peyton will say, you know, he was the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history, which is probably true. And that the last three times he played against Brady in the playoffs was all AFC championship games, and Manning won all three. The last one they faced each other in Indianapolis and the two when he was in Denver. So Peyton saved face a little bit there just by, you know, again, these guys don't get into discussion themselves, and Peyton would never be put in a position where he had to defend himself publicly. But I think the Peyton backers would say, well, the last three times they met in the playoffs, Peyton won all three. Which, again, it narrowed the gap somewhat. It gave actually the Peyton the lead in their head-to-head playoff matchups 3-2. But when you put the whole thing into context, it's not even a discussion.
How about, Gary, the greatest winner ever in sports? Dan Shaughnessy in The Globe about a month ago wrote that he's still got Bill Russell there. Talked to a lot of people about that.
I'm sorry, I lost you there.
Oh, yeah. So just the question is Brady the greatest?
Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Russell won 11, right?
Yep.
And was that in 13 years?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue against Bill Russell. And if you want to just say of the 21st century or all time in NFL history, then it's Brady. I mean, 21st century, all of sports, NFL history for sure. I you know, 11 championships in 13 years. I mean, how do you make an argument against Bill Russell?
Yeah, it's tough. Gary, quick question for you. Sorry to jump in. You're in New York. Where do you see the Jets going with the quarterback situation? Do they keep Darnold? Do they trade him? Do they draft a guy? Do they get Deshaun Watson? And secondly, do you envision Deshaun Watson moving anywhere outside of Houston, or do you think he'll be back there despite all of the vitriol this offseason?
Yeah. I'll answer the second one first, that I don't think we're going to know the answer on the Deshaun Watson thing until the day of the draft or a couple of days before the draft. And if Houston becomes 100% convinced the guy will never play for them, then unfortunately for them, they're going to have to trade him, because what's the point to get into a stare down with him over the summer if he doesn't show up in training camp? You almost want to maximize his value while you're still somewhat in control of the situation. And this is a good year to trade him if they're going to trade him, because it's a good quarterback draft. And you know, there are teams at the top like the Jets and the Dolphins who are picking 2 and 3 that potentially could be interested in giving them a bunch of draft choices for Watson, and they can immediately reload by getting, you know, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance, one of those guys. As far as the Jets, that is the question in New York sports right now. It is dominating talk radio. What are the Jets going to do? The Jets are in control of this draft, because we all know that Trevor Lawrence is going one. And if the Jets stay put, and they'll take Zach Wilson, I'm convinced it'll be Zach Wilson, that that's the guy they like. And his name is really creating the most buzz right now. And then they would, you know, trade Sam. But I'm not convinced they're going to do that. They have the potential now with that second pick, if they're going to hold on to Sam. And just as far as Sam is concerned, he's had horrible coaching and no skill position players. So I'd like to see what he can do in the San Francisco Shanahan offense that they're bringing in. And if they can surround him with some good players, he was the third pick in the draft just a few years ago. I'd hate to give up on him based on the 3 years that he's put on tape when he's really had no chance. But if just say the Jets don't take Wilson and they hold on to Sam, then they have plenty of teams that are going to want to trade up to get to that pick. And they're all in the first eight. You know, you have Atlanta at 4, Philadelphia at 6, Carolina at 8. Jets can trade down and then trade down again. I mean, they can hop down the board to get to number 8 And then, like, there's a reason they would want to take a quarterback, and they like Mac Jones best of the bunch, they can probably get him at 8, and then trade Sam or just take a receiver. But they can really stockpile the draft picks. I mean, they have 2 ones this year and next. This team just needs so many players that this gives Joe Douglas an opportunity to really maximize that second overall pick in a year that there's a bunch of good quarterbacks and a bunch of teams picking in the top 10 that need a quarterback. I mean, it's an ideal situation for the Jets to really get, you know, total value for this pick. You know, in a year that there's no quarterbacks, nobody wants to trade up usually. In a year like this, yeah, and so many teams in the top 10 needing quarterbacks, it puts the Jets, you know, in a very powerful position right now.
Hey, Gary, before we let you go, because you've been in some of those conversations, how close are Richard Seymour and Rodney Harrison to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, Richard, full disclosure, I voted for him in the final five this year. He didn't make it, but he made the final 10, which is a very good sign for him because he's moving. You know, he's been in our discussed in the room for the last few years. I can't remember in 2020 if he made it to the final 10, but I know that he did this year because I know I voted for him in the final five. Rodney Harrison has not made it to the final 15. I'm not sure he's made it to the final 25. I can't recall off the top of my head. So of those two, no doubt Richard Seymour is much closer. I think Richard will, if he doesn't get in 2022, he'll get in the year after, but he's got a very good chance of getting in next year because I took a quick look at the first year eligibles next year, and it's not an overwhelming class where you say that, okay, these guys have to get in. So I think there's at least 4 spots open next year. There might be 1 first timer that will get a lot of support. Again, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think Richard's got a very good chance next year.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, well, thank you. And if I can just remind people, you know, the Brady craze people, which I know there's still plenty in New England.
Oh, yeah.
If you go wherever you get your podcast, the GOAT Tom Brady, and it's my Brady Manning book kind of coming to life because you can hear all the interviews I did with Tom and Peyton and Kraft and Parcells and the whole crew of important people around Tom, and you hear all those interviews that I did for my book, and it's a much different experience than actually reading the book. So I hope people aren't too burned out on Brady and will like to listen to that because I think it's kind of a fun thing. And then the last month of the season, I had great guests like Collinsworth and Al Michaels and Phil Sims and Tom Sr. I had on a couple times towards the end. So I think it's informative, and I hope people would find it entertaining as well.
I'm sure you'll get people checking it out. A lot of Brady still drives the bus here, as you well know. It's crazy.
I do, and you know, I'll just say this to people of New England that I know everybody's kind of down on Belichick. It was always, you know, in Bill we trust until he let Tom walk away. He'll get a quarterback this year, one way or the other. You know, whether it's a free agent or a trade or. More likely, I think he'll find a way to move up and get one of these top quarterbacks. I wouldn't be surprised if he found a way to get Mac Jones because of the connection to Saban. And I haven't been the biggest, you know, I've been a Belichick a critic over the years. But, you know, he didn't get to where he was by not knowing how to build a team. And it wasn't going to happen overnight when you lose the greatest player in NFL history. And I would just say give him time. And then you know, in 2 years, if you're still talking about not making the playoffs and an under 500 record, then I think people will have a right to really be upset. But all the Patriot fans experienced last season was basically how the other 25 or 23 other teams live every year, knowing that they had no chance to win. And the Patriots, with all those opt-outs and then losing Tom, really didn't have much of an opportunity to win last year.
Thanks for the time, Gary. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Gary Myers, formerly New York Daily News, Hall of Fame voter, and joining us on the Harbor One Hotline here on the Ken and Curtis Show. So he says Belichick will get that quarterback. Did you catch Field Yates yesterday on
no.
GetUp, who you tie to Belichick all the time, former Belichick staffer, right?
Intern, yep.
Not sure if he and Bill talk daily or weekly.
He's good friends with Steve.
He's connected. So this hype or propaganda, if you will, continues. Did Curran start it with the uncharacteristically aggressive comment? And then Reese weighed in basically and was kind of saying the same, right? They're going to go out. They're going to be active.
Correct.
Here was Yates on Get Up yesterday talking about how aggressive the Pats will be.
You look at teams like, for example, the Patriots, who are flush with capital this offseason in terms of cap space. This is a team that could have $60+ million in cap space if they do nothing. That number could balloon if they make a couple of cuts on their own. And let me ask you something, Greeny, that's a rhetorical question. Do you think Bill Belichick wants to go 7-9 again next year? Yeah, we know the answer to that question. We'll talk about the quarterback solution the Patriots have to figure out at some point this offseason. But when you've got teams that are effectively sitting out in free agency, you've gone from, let's say, 32 to 24 teams that are actually spending, and the Patriots have a stack of cash. I know this team was down last year, but I expect them to look a lot different by the time we get to the first wave of free agency.
Okay, a quick thing here.
Stack of cash, Curtis. Stack of cash.
Why doesn't anybody on that set, I think GetUp has 72 correspondents on one screen at a time. Why doesn't one of them say, fieldy, Weston Zone, question, did Bill want to go 7-9 last year?
Well, Matt Light says yes, it was a throwaway year.
But what do you think?
Which I think, in hindsight, he has lowered the bar. First of all, the cap, I mean, he's done a good job resetting the cap, you'll admit that. I mean, that's just factual, right? They have money to spend.
Right. When you don't sign anyone, you can reset a cap.
Correct.
When you suck at every position.
Well, right. So he may not have wanted to go 7-9, but he wasn't averse to it.
But why?
He wasn't against
adverse.
It. Adverse to it if he could set himself up, retool for the next season.
So, but that, why did they want to go 7-9? Why did they have a team without a quarterback until July?
Well, again, if out, not for COVID, they probably still squeak in the playoffs in what was still a bad division.
It's not answering the question. That team, the roster of that team, not the head coaching job by Bill, the GM, built a horrible team.
Well, he had 8 opt-outs. Okay.
2 of which matter. The rest of them don't. Do you think Vitaly was a big
Vitaly
miss?
Vitaly was huge. And Lacoste, God, they missed Lacoste.
They used a 5th-round pick on a kicker who never saw the field. Like, what are you?
That
was a horrible, horrible offseason. And to say that, you think Bill wants to go 7-9 again? Well, but so you're saying he was fine with sucking last year, but all of a sudden he's decided he doesn't want to suck.
Well, I mean, this is now the 3rd or 4th person who says, ready to spend. They're aggressive. So, here they come.
And what year? Just give me a little help here. In the 20 years that Bill Belichick's been the head coach and general manager of the Patriots, has he told us what he wanted to do during the offseason?
I know, but as you say, things are different. This is a new era.
Believe Bill is...
I don't believe Bill is, but I believe the Crafts are privy to the plan, and they are putting it out there.
Do you think Bill
Belichick... Despite Bill's wishes. I bet you Belichick is not happy about it, but isn't there a rationale for the Crafts to get this message out to appease the fan base?
Absolutely. And I think that there are certain things that Bill does, and he's brilliant at it. When you have Charlie Weiss, who has his own career, get on the radio station in Boston and go on a Sirius XM show and say that Mac Jones is the guy, I think that is Bill spinning the media, using a friend of his to promote a different player that they are not in love with at quarterback.
Well, could be, but that's separate from a stack of cash and ready to spend. That means free agency. That means in a week and a half, they're going hard after a receiver, an edge rusher, and, I don't know, maybe an inside linebacker?
But this to me seems like a Red Sox move, where you're trying to sort of get the fan base behind you without doing anything. Because in my opinion, you have Jeff Howe saying that that they're in on every quarterback and they're aggressively pursuing them. Within the same story, Jeff Howe notes that the price has been too high to make a move on any of them.
Yeah, but
it doesn't really work.
It was on the 2 examples, Stafford and Wentz, which we both agree Wentz was not worth it.
Well, if Stafford has...
By the way, we both might agree that Stafford wasn't worth what he went for.
If Stafford has a good season next year and the Patriots still have Cam Newton, do you think in week 6 or 7 fans are going to be like, okay, good, we didn't give up that 3rd-round pick that we used to get a gunner out of Fresno State?
2 firsts and, what was it, 2 firsts and a 2nd? It was a pretty steep price tag. I mean,
it was, of course, but what is too steep a price tag if you get a quarterback to play?
I mean, if you have nothing around them, we saw how that went this year.
They didn't have a quarterback last year.
Okay. But if they can do it other ways, the offseason was not a pass-fail based on Stafford. You would agree with that. That's not the only way they can have a good offseason.
You're right. And I want you at some point today, mm-hmm. maybe Volan can help, to explain to me why it's smart business for the Patriots, if this is indeed their plan, to go against how they built championship teams over the last 20 years and begin disclosing their plans during an offseason to the public.
Well, I don't think Bill's happy about it, but the Crafts feel like it's an important time to keep the fan base engaged and with them. They put out the hype video, which bad timing, but stick with us. That's what they're doing. But, they've come out and said it. Stick with us.
Patriots fans.
Don't leave us.
The fans here in Boston are the best fans in the world. If the Patriots build a team worthy of their support,
yep.
they will be there.
Okay,
no matter what
Kraft
they say.
Is saying,
what is today? March 6th. No matter what they say on March 6th, it has no bearing on if they do nothing at the draft.
I mean, it keeps them in the papers, keeps them in the news, keeps articles flowing, keeps Pats fans buying jerseys of who I don't know. But
isn't the saying that you want to under promise, over deliver? Isn't that what you want?
I agree. It's bold, so they better deliver. Now have to deliver, and I fully expect they're going to sign either Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Kenny Golladay, Corey Davis, Will Fuller, Juju Smith-Schuster. Pick one of those guys. They're signing one of them, right?
I mean, I think they have to, but all I'm saying is these words are meaningless. Bluster during an offseason is what we used to mock Rex Ryan for.
It is interesting. It's fascinating to see. You're right about that. This never happened before.
In my opinion, this is them trying to save face and excuse things for when they don't end up with these great players.
Yeah, but would you rather have an owner that did nothing and just said, we don't have to say anything. We had a terrible year, and we're not doing anything about it.
No, what I would want is the owner, Bob Kraft, to do a press conference or sit down with someone at some point during this offseason to talk about how this was a tough season.
They're doing that. Okay, Field Yates is doing that.
But that's
what's happening.
But that's a backwards way to do it.
But that's what Kraft's doing.
But in my opinion, he
doesn't want to take questions on other stuff
then
he's uncomfortable with.
So he's not a leader.
Well, he's doing it tactically.
Well, but he
wants only good press. He doesn't want to have bad press.
Well,
so he's choosing this way to avoid tough questions.
He's had 21 years of good press. Okay, because the team was great, and he's a great guy in the community. He's a great leader. You go to any hospital in New England, there's rooms named after Kraft because he's a great philanthropist who cares about people. But when it comes to leading during a tough time, that is when you should hear from your leaders, not from a mouthpiece like Field Yates.
If the Patriots in a week and a half sign, let's say Shaq Barrett for $20 million a year, and they then sign Allen Robinson for $20 million a year, and they then sign Matt Milano for $12 million a year.
DC guy.
That is a blockbuster free agent offseason.
Absolutely.
They have the cash to afford it. That'd be, what, $55 million on three players? Be bizarre.
Yep.
Then you look back and say, boy, Kraft was trying to tell us something. They promised aggressive, and they were aggressive.
Right.
Now we're going to get a quarterback in the draft.
But you still haven't answered my question as to why they have changed course and are trying to leak their offseason plans.
Well, rattled. Brady rattled them.
This organization and the fans of it told me for years that they don't give Lombardi trophies during the offseason. Rex Ryan was the five-time straight offseason champion during Hard Knocks.
So you'd rather they stay quiet? Or you'd rather Kraft talk, but say nothing, not promise anything. What? Just talk.
I think
talk about Brady.
You should be accountable and talk to people directly instead of leaking things to reporters who owe you
one. But what do you want them to say? So Kraft talks. What does he say that makes you happy?
This last season was unacceptable. That we know going forward, thankfully, we're going to get some players back. That was an issue last year. We're going to deal with COVID protocols much better than the second year of the pandemic.
Wow, but why? You're over-promising.
What did I promise there?
You're promising they're going to not have issues. They're going to be aggressive. Basically, you're promising everything he's telling Field Yates they're going to do.
I just said they're going to get these players back. Last year was unacceptable.
He has said that. They've put out that the opt-outs are coming back. They've said that.
That's them
been reported.
Saying it, Ken.
McCourty has said it. Like he's basically.
I agree with
captain.
You. It's happening. But what is Robert Kraft never saw a camera he didn't like when the team was winning.
Yeah, but there are two things he doesn't want to answer: Brady questions and Florida questions.
Why doesn't he want to answer Brady questions?
Because it's uncomfortable. They don't look great right now.
So do you think he would be viewed better or worse if he said we made a mistake?
If he says we made a mistake, he would probably, in his eyes, he would look worse because then like it feels like regret. It then feels like Kraft is second guessing his decision to pick Belichick over Brady.
But in this case, we feel people who watch this situation very closely. We feel that Robert Kraft is overstepping his head coach, who he just aligned with over the greatest quarterback of all time, by leaking it to Field, Yates, Tom Curran, and Mike Reese that we're going to be incredibly active this offseason.
I think he's doing a good job of it. I mean,
but I don't get that good job. Either you sign players or you don't. Who cares what you say in March?
Well, I think if you're a Pats fan, you're encouraged by what you're hearing. Don't you think?
You're encouraged that they are going against what they have done the last 20 years, which I was told was the Patriots' way.
Well, they made a controversial decision to not keep Brady, if you believe that, or Brady left them, whatever you want to say. So now they have to change the way PR now matters. They have to change the way they appeal to the fan base.
And I'm telling them, as a guy that grew up here who loved the Patriots before I loved anything else, yep, except for BC football, I don't think we need to hear this crap. We are not in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well,
we want to see a good team. If you put a good team together, we're going to root for it as hard as anybody else in the sport. A
couple calls before the trending. Let's get to Mike in Massachusetts. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the idea that, you know, our offseason is bad because we didn't get Matt Stafford. Yeah. The guy has never won anything, and there's four or five young quarterbacks in this draft that will be better winners in the NFL than Matt Stafford. All these other teams out there that are winning, they get a young guy, and they win when they're in their rookie contract. This idea that we need to go trade our future for some retread like Stafford, it's ridiculous. I think we need to grab a young guy and just go with it.
Mike, just a quick question for you. What in Belichick's drafting over the last 4 years suggests that he's going to find that player in the first round?
It's not that he's done it before. I think Belichick has changed several times in his career as a coach, and he's tried to get ahead of things, and he's not perfect. But I think that going forward, I think he sees the writing on the wall. You have to get one of these young guys that are coming up in this new college spread offense that can come into the league and are developed passers by the time they get to the NFL.
All right. I mean, I disagree. I think that
Mike's totally right. For you to say that Stafford was the make or break of the offseason, that's idiotic. I just tweeted it out.
For you to say that the Patriots changing their way, you literally said to me so many times during the Brady debate that Tom has changed as a negative. But now you're saying that the Patriots have changed and it's a positive.
Well, they're forced to change. Unfortunately, they've lost the PR battle based on Brady winning the Super Bowl. They look bad.
No, they lost because they got rid of him and replaced him with a guy who couldn't play.
Yes, they were blindsided. He left them at the altar, so they had no choice but to get Cam Newton. They had a tough year.
So
everybody will admit that.
You and I can.
They had a tough year.
You and I can. The summer of 2019, the second the house went on the market, we told Greg Hill that he's out of here.
Yep.
And you're telling me the owner of the franchise was blindsided 9 months later.
I think he was. I think he and Belichick felt like Brady was going to stick to his principles and just agree to a deal and not go anywhere. They called his bluff.
In my opinion, then that is a horrible, 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 once-in-a-lifetime type of mistake to not have read the tea leaves that you and I, not exactly Woodward and Bernstein, were able to see 9 months prior.
I know, but the way Kraft talks about it is convincing, that he thought it was the way he was coming back and that he said he feels Brady chose to leave. They could have worked something out. It was Tom had checked out on them. Like, they were still willing to negotiate.
But, Ken,
up until the last moment.
You just said that they are now PR conscious.
Yes.
So it's clearly a PR move for him to say that he was blindsided.
Correct.
When in actuality, he was not. He's spinning it.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so we agree.
We agree. He's spinning it. Yes.
Good.
And all these reporters with these quotes, the aggressive quote, the Field Yates that you just heard, the Mike Reese, this is all Kraft. This is basically Kraft's press conference.
So that's why I would love to have a press conference with Bill Belichick, because I remember when Brady was suspended and they put the banner outside the stadium and he's like, I don't do banners. I don't do cafeterias. Yep. Like, I would love to hear his response to what the team is putting out there.
Dave in the car real quick. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey, Curtis. This is Angry Principal Dave.
Principal Dave, how are you?
Sorry. Yeah, it's okay. So, Curtis, I'm just going to give you this one thought for the day. Actions speak louder than words. All right, that's been the Patriot kind of mantra as well as the Patriot way since the beginning. I don't care if they come out and tell me it was bad. Show me what you're going to do this year. I think we all can agree that last year was a throwaway year, this past year. Let's see what they do now. And I think they're going to get a lot of kind of mid-level guys, not going to be like the quote-unquote sexy kind of pick signings. And then there's going to be, I think they're going to find a game manager quarterback. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to be right back in it. But let's not beat them up until we see what they do this year.
Principal
right?
Dave, I have my hand
And they're
raised.
Not going to come out and tell us, right?
Principal
Dave. Yes,
okay, Mr. Principal, you agree with me. You and I are saying the same thing. Ken's saying that Patriots fans are babies that need to be told the team's going to sign people. I'm saying, don't tell us what you're going to do. Just do it.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Then. Yeah. I misheard that. Well, it's 93.7. You're kind of in and out. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Radio.com app works about once
a week. We just dumped that.
Yeah, that's true.
Dave, marketing matters. Yeah. Public relations matter. That there are millions of dollars in every company invested in that. That's what the Crafts are doing right now.
Yeah, but not for this franchise. I agree with your premise there, but not for this franchise. This franchise is selling itself right now, right?
No, not really.
If they have a horrible year, if they have a horrible year this year, or horrible, or a subpar year, then I would agree with you. Then they got to do some damage control. But I think right now, I think let's see what this offseason brings. I don't need people coming out telling me what they're going to do. Let's see what they do. Let's see what the product looks like in the summer and into the fall, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Well, I mean, but Curtis is one of the, I would say, 10 to 15% of the fan base who is out. They are angry, they're out, and they need soothing. Now, this might not be working for you. It's not working, apparently, but they're trying. They're reaching out. This is them reaching out.
What we both can agree on, Ken, is that they believe that they are taking a massive hit from the way Brady left and his ability to win another Super Bowl. I think early on this year, all the people now that are saying it's a COVID year, when they barely lost to the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football, and Wiggy came in saying that Belichick and Cam were flipping birds to the rest of the NFL and that this team is going places, it was still a season at that point. Now that the season ended poorly and they didn't make the playoffs and Brady won a Super Bowl, it's very convenient for Principal Dave and others to say...
Throwaway. Yep, Matt Light set that standard.
Matt Light's still going to get those Putnam reads. Don't worry about it.
All right, more of your calls on this front. What's going on in Foxborough? What is the plan? What are they doing? And do you approve of it? 617-779-7937. Get back to the Tom Wilson hit as well. Let's find out what's trending.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm rooting for Tom Brady. I'm so excited. We've had some great communications, and he is such a special human being. We were privileged to have him here for 2 decades, and he's one of the finest human beings I've ever met. He knows how to lead, and I wish him well, and I really hope he wins Sunday.
That's the last we've heard from Robert Kraft. Ken and Curtis here on EEI. See, Robert Kraft talked. You want him to speak? He did.
I really want to get to the bottom of that. That is so strange to promote that. That was on Friday morning. We found it on the CBS Boston website. Mm-hmm. And it was a teaser for an interview set to air in the Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning show on the day of the Super Bowl. Never saw the light of day. Don't know what happened, but it is a bizarre thing. And people agree with me here, Ken, on the text. Nobody cares what they tell us they're going to do. Just do it.
But you're angry at Kraft for putting out public relations spin. That's my read on it.
Well, I think it's beneath the Patriots and their fans to require spin. I think that the Patriots fans have shown that since Robert Kraft purchased the team, that they're there every Sunday and they support the team and they want a team to be worthy of their support. And last year, it pretty clearly was not. And Robert Kraft saying that he was blindsided or telling that to Stephen A. Smith when Brady chose to leave, just it does not pass the smell test.
I think it does when they had a close relationship like they had. And we had that board in here, Brady stay or gone. You remember that board?
Yeah.
You remember how many people were on the he's staying list, including Fourier and Glenn and all these, maybe not Fourier. I don't know. Wiggy was certainly on that list. Nobody believed it until it actually happened.
Everything Wiggy has said has been wrong in the last year and a half.
But there were, Field Yates was on that board. There were lots of people who thought Brady would never leave. Okay. So why is it that shocking that Kraft would be one of those guys?
Because if you follow the reporting in and around that time, and you look back to that entire year of Brady's persona, how he acted, how he spoke, how he talked about the organization, it was clear to anybody who was paying attention that he was leaving.
Not everybody, because, again, there were lots of people who didn't buy it. Called me fake take and said you and I were idiots.
Well, that's to be expected, but I think that what you and I were angrily telling Greg, when he had been briefed every day that he was staying, that you just weren't paying attention. And if you're the owner of the franchise and this guy's been here from 20 years and he changes that dramatically how he speaks about the organization and you claim to be blindsided when he leaves, then that's on you, not on Tom.
508 text, what a shock. Ken and Curtis talking about Brady again, changing the channel. You guys seriously arguing whether they should tell the fans what they plan to do. Who cares as long as they do something and improve the team?
Amen.
This text I like. Why is it that I can't stand Ken PR on the weekdays, but on the weekends, I can like him on the weekends, but on the weekdays, I want to tear my eyes from my skull. It's because I'm with Curtis. Being with you for 4 hours makes me the likable figure, which is the genius of the show. People actually don't hate me on this morning show. But Danny and Quincy hate you too, so that's even better. Hi, Danny.
Well, I'm probably going to give him more material after this call, but Curtis. I can actually, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi. Okay, I didn't hear. I can actually call up and agree with you on this one. Kraft has been an absentee owner for at least 3 years now. No comments, nothing. And as long as he remains silent, I want to know what happened officially between, you know, his camp and the Brady camp leading up to his departure. Okay?
But Danny, you know why he's been silent. It's obviously the Florida thing, right? He doesn't want to talk about that.
All he has to say for that, I knew you were going to bring that up. All he has to say that, you can just say, look, that's a legal matter. It's an ongoing case for legal purposes. Okay? I can't talk about it. I'm here to talk about what happened and where the, you know, divorce happened and who was right and who was wrong and this, that. If he comes out, all he had to do, his son was on every week before the broadcast on the other station.
Yep.
Every week. He's been absent. He won't even talk about, like, the upcoming game. Nothing. It's been silent. I think they're cowards. You can't come on and be all available when they're winning. And then when they lose, nothing? Absentee. But I will say this. Tom Brady, in an interview, was it with Howard Stern that I heard that interview that he said he was going to not? He probably knew before the 2019 season that
Correct.
He wasn't coming back, right?
Yep. Correct, yep.
Okay, so did he keep that to himself, or did he tell the Krafts and Belichick that he wasn't coming back?
I think it was clear between at least Belichick and Brady that they knew this was coming to an end. How Robert Kraft can paint this, that he was blindsided, maybe he said, Bill, I'm siding with you. You're going to be here. Brady's going to be free to sign elsewhere. And then I'll give you all the blame. I don't know, but it's just been clunky, the entire operation.
So you're telling me that Tom Brady went to Bill Belichick and not to Bob Kraft, that they didn't have a three-in-a-room meeting, that Tom Brady was leaving?
I don't know. I have no idea what they did. Okay, I'm just speculating like you are.
Two possibilities. Brady knew he was leaving and didn't tell anybody. In which case, he's the problem, okay?
Yep.
Just and then, you know, I'm going right into my dig in that he screwed the Patriots, just like Gronkowski did, okay? Yep. And or he did tell them, and he was up front with them and said, look, after the Super Bowl, right after the 2018 Super Bowl against the Rams, right? Next year,
we're leaning towards leaving. One second.
We're leaving. If he did that and Kraft and or Belichick didn't do anything to prepare for his leaving, then Curtis, I'm coming over to your side, brother.
Okay.
I just want you to know I'm pretty fair and balanced.
I hear you. But my point is simply with this whole situation with Tom Brady, he negotiated for one thing in 2019 with Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft when they redid his contract. He wanted one thing in there, and that was his ability to leave freely at the end of the season without being franchised. So if you're Bob Kraft and you're Bill Belichick and you don't read the tea leaves when that's done, then you're not as smart as you think you are. Because that
my question, my only answer to that is why propose tea leaves? Why not just come out and say it? You know,
maybe he thought at some point, Danny, that they were going to treat him like the greatest quarterback of all time and pay him market value. I don't know. Maybe he left out hope that Bill and Bob would be smart enough to be paying him what he's worth.
That's assuming that the only reason he would have stayed was for money. And if a player wants to stay on a team or come to a team strictly for money in any sport, it doesn't usually work out. The money thing wears off and the environment doesn't change and you're still an unhappy person. Right. And I think that's counterproductive for everybody. So you're sitting there telling me, Curtis, that he would have come back strictly for money.
No, I don't know what he would have come back for. All I know is he wanted to leave.
This is what you tell your listeners every morning.
Good point.
You say if they had offered him the money, Manansky does the same thing. Manansky said, if they had offered him the money, he would have stayed.
I don't think he wanted to stay here.
I think his wife had a big influence. They hated the weather. They wanted to find somewhere where they could just live in warm weather, and maybe he said to his wife, well, if we go to that place, can I still play football?
And he wanted to be a GM.
And I think that's where it ended.
He wanted to control personnel.
Bye, Danny. Thank you. God in heaven.
Danny's right. He knew and didn't tell, which is bizarre. We're up against it. More Brady calls next.
More the guys. Ken and Curtis. The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Nice choice, Nick the producer. This is Rock the Cash Bar from the old archives.
Yep.
A famous Curtis moment.
Beat Mutt then, beat Mutt now.
508 texter, Brady wasn't staying for the rebuild, period, end of story, not at his age. Curtis is a moron. Correct on all fronts.
Yeah, Brady really was, every day he was like, how long do I have to wait till I get to move to Tampa?
You don't think it's a possibility Brady knew he was leaving, but didn't tell him?
You know, I don't even care at this point. I really don't.
That is a total lie.
Why are we?
You don't care about Brady's departure.
No, I don't care what they knew. They should have prioritized him. They should have never let him leave. They should have treated him as the greatest quarterback of all time. The fact that he won a Super Bowl in another city is never leaving the first page of Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft's obit.
Quick note on Tom Wilson. We have an update from the NHL Department of Player Safety. Washington's Tom Wilson has been offered an in-person hearing via Zoom for boarding Boston's Brandon Carlo. Triple B's boarding. Hey, they're admitting it's boarding. Date and time to be determined.
So how is it in-person if they're Zooming it?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And according to Elliot Friedman, who knows such things, hockey reporter for Hockey Night Canada.
Yeah, I used to golf with him a lot. He's a good guy.
This gives an option to suspend for more than five games. If you have a suspension of more than five games in the NHL, there has to be an in-person meeting for Wilson to give his side of things. So that's encouraging. I thought, if you missed the first hour of the show, two games is what I expected. Based on his prior history being gone on good behavior, which is strange. Go ahead.
This is the perfect tweet from the company, for the part of the NHL that has no clue what it's doing. NHL player safety saying that they're doing an in-person hearing on Zoom.
Sarah Volley, who was defending the hit from TSN, I've reached out to him. He has not responded, but he said yesterday he didn't think it was boarding. It's not charging. It's not illegal to hit a player that's engaged with another player. A high hit is not necessarily an illegal hit, which I totally disagree. It's a high hit, and it's illegal. It's to the head. Anyway, more on that later. A couple calls, then we got top of the hour. Finally, I've been looking for a Jimmy G guy for weeks, and I get my wish. From 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, Bonta Hill will join us. Is Jimmy going to stay in San Francisco or leave? And there's more on that front this week reporting from Michael Lombardi and also the Carolina guy, Joe Person.
Right.
Who are basically, I mean, two guys that are saying Jimmy G is far from a sure thing to stay in San Francisco.
Well, you've been saying that all along.
Let's go to Jim in the car. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? That audio you played from Kraft is incredible, but it's what Belichick should have said. And as to what you guys were just discussing, you know, I think Tom did know that he was leaving, but there was always a possibility that he would change his mind at the last minute. I agree with Curtis, they did not do enough to ensure that he did stay. So ultimately it's on them that Tom left, but you guys are right. They should have read the signs. They should have known he needed more than usual handling to stick around. His loyalty had been tested, and you know he was getting up there, and they had underpaid him for all these years, and it was all catching up. And he did the right thing for himself, and that's his perfect right to do that.
Right, and Jim, it's a good point because if you go back, Belichick has never said anything publicly. He had the statement. So you had the Belichick statement and the Kraft statement saying that, you know, everything that you could possibly praise a guy with in a statement. And then it was over. And I don't know if they thought that Brady would not succeed in Tampa, if they thought that the Patriots fans would be happy and proud that the team didn't overpay Brady, but they misread A, the impact to the franchise, B, the impact to the fan base, and see the disconnect it created between the organization and their fans regarding a guy that is the most beloved figure in the history of Boston sports. Like, they just thought they could let him go.
At least with Belichick, you can argue that it fits a pattern. You know, the whole quitting too soon rather than quitting too late. But with Kraft, it just makes no sense. He either checked out on the decision or he just left it to Bill and that's why he was blindsided.
Yep. Good call, Jim. I mean, he did leave it to Bill. He trusted in Bill. He chose Bill. And it's definitely a Bill pattern. Bill doesn't want to pay a guy at that position more than a certain dollar value. Brady all of a sudden wanted that for whatever reason. Brady changed. And maybe the caller's right. Maybe at the end, Brady was like, okay, let's see what Bill says. Remember that call yep. where Curran said business as usual? If Bill would have said, Tom, we've made a terrible mistake. We're locking you in for 3 years at whatever rate. Would Brady have stayed then?
Well, I think what should have happened, so let's say at that point Kraft still thinks, up until that phone call is reported on, Kraft thinks that Brady's just going to sign. Well, eventually, you know, we always end up with an agreement. I'll give him that, you know, sort of credit. But the second that conversation ends and Brady leaks, Tom is on the planet at
too
that
late.
Point.
Too late at that point. He's chosen Bill.
But it's not too late at that point to get that back together, to come down and say, hey, I screwed up. I had no idea.
Nah, but at that point, if you do that, Bill leaves.
Ken,
Bill quits.
You're a good person. You know the saying, it's never too late to do the right thing.
Bob and the car. Oh, the Kyle and Lowell. Sorry. Kyle, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
So I really, pretty good. I really think it's pretty simple. Belichick and Kraft really mishandled, I forget what year, 2018, 2019. The Lamar Jackson draft, we had the 19 or 20 or 20 and 21st picks. We just got rid of Garoppolo. Lost my backup. Brady's starting to get unhappy. The win pick is like, I understand. But take Lamar Jackson. It was so obvious. I mean, where did he go? The next pick?
Yep.
And, I mean, that really, you really could just boil it down to that's when everything started going south. Because it's like, you no longer had the backup situation, which Belichick always loved to have a strong backup. Not a couple of, like Wiggy would say, jabronis back there, Hoyer and Stidham. And it was, you could really just boil it down to that situation. You can't mess that draft up, and they did.
Although they won a Super Bowl that year with Wynn and Michelle, right? So
I get it. You cut your losses with Michelle. He put you over the top. Like, do you really need a running back in the first round to win a championship with that team? I don't know.
That is unbelievable.
With the Patriots system.
That's a great point, Kyle. I'm just looking back at that draft right now. You have the Patriots with two picks. 23, they take Isaiah Wynn, who can't stay on the field. And
31?
At 31, they take Sony Michel.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That's a big moment. Won a Super
you know
Bowl,
what?
But...
And honestly, if they had taken Lamar Jackson, I don't know how well Brady would have been with it, but that would have been a pretty cool way for Brady to sort of age gracefully. You got another guy that can spell you from time to time.
Well, he took Stidham. I thought that would be the guy. All right, quick check-in with Bonta Hill next. 95-7 the game in San Francisco. Is Jimmy G going to be the Niners quarterback, or is he coming back to Foxborough? We find out next.